2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome back to another episode of DFS Army's Beat the Bookie podcast, our third episode. I'm Season Long Says, Alan Seslowski on Twitter, and I'm sitting with my friend John Alessia. I don't like when they call you Alessia. Now that I know the correct pronunciation, I feel like I'm a little more in the know here.
That's my pronunciation. There are some people in the family who do say Alessia, but not my immediate family. So we'll stick with Alessia. I like it.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, John, Beat the Bookie on the DFS Army website has literally been our growth area. People are flocking in. Not just because your picks and your team's picks have been on point, but the logic behind them has just been phenomenal. And there is a demand for this podcast. I can't believe it. The people actually want to hear you speak.
Shocking to me as well. And one thing I do love to do is talk. So I guess it kind of fits this. This is the platform I could do that and not annoy everybody else in my private life with all my ramblings.
Well, what's great about it is that the people that listen to this podcast are either just getting into the sports betting world or they've been doing it for some time with some mixed results, and they just love talking this stuff. And that's why I love talking to you, because I love hearing you talk about your experiences and actually clearing up some of the things that were a mystery to me. You know, we take for granted a lot of times when professional sports gamblers talk about this stuff, we get lost in some of the definitions. So that's what we're here to do, is help them with that.
Yeah. And I mean, I wind up learning as well. I love teaching. It's kind of been my family. My mom was an elementary school principal. And so my sister-in-law is a teacher. I've got a bunch of teachers in the family. So I enjoy it. And I coached. I actually coached baseball when I was younger. When you teach, you have to revisit things that you think you know really well. And sometimes you get to learn a little bit something yourself. And then people ask me questions. And when they do, sometimes it's stuff I didn't really think about. And, you know, it leads you down. If you're a curious person, you should be learning as much as you can. And then it leads you down a path that you never really intended to get down. But during that process, you sort of learn a little bit more. So I love doing this because I always come out of it myself learning more than I did when I started.
Yeah. And also, it's when we're doing the things we love. I mean, when we're engaged in these in sports betting, or if we're engaged in teaching, that's when we actually derive the real pleasures of life, when we connect with people and we have shared interests. And I think that's why people love listening to podcasts. They love talking about sports wagering, because we kind of forget about the outside pressures and stresses of the world. And I mean, that's certainly what I get out of it. But today, I don't want to waste too much time talking about how I emotionally connect with the world, and more talking about something that actually is a little bit of a mystery to me. And you could take this conversation where you want to go, but often we hear the term reverse line movement. Can you explain this in a very 101 way, and then get as granular as you want from there?
Yeah, I brought it up on our podcast that we do on the Geeks Vegas Lines. And, you know, it's funny. I throw some terminology out there sometimes, and you know, you'll pick up on it, which is great that you're there. And you say, "John, we need to expand on, you know, what a reverse line movement is," because I'll say it under the assumption everybody listening knows exactly what I'm talking about. So that's why it's great to do this with you. And yeah, reverse line movement, it's not as complicated maybe as it sounds. And some people out there are like, yeah, I know exactly what it is. But all it really says is, you know, when money's coming in on one side of a game, but the line is moving in the opposite direction, they call that a reverse line movement. Because you have to back it up one step. Go ahead.
Use specific examples. Like, let's just make up a game. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys and the Giants. I mean, just so you can kind of, you're not saying this side or that side. You're actually telling a side. Now, this is a made up scenario that you're going
to
talk about.
Well, let me take it back one step. You have to sort of know how the bookies work and how the sports books work to understand why a reverse line movement is a thing, right? So the books, the theory is, and this is probably more the case now that corporations are now these sports books, and it's not these individual gamblers, what it used to be in like the 70s and 80s, guys who actually were looking to gamble and take a side on a game. There's less of that now. So they actually do want to get as close to 50-50 usually on a game, 50-50 in the money. Because what they do is, we talked about VIG and juice. They're just looking to collect the juice, right? These corporations aren't looking to take their own stance, their own views. We used to call it on Wall Street, having an axe. They're not looking for that. They're looking for equal money on both sides, because then they collect the juice. They have no risk. So when understanding that's their motivation, it would be curious as to why the line would move opposite to where the money is coming in. Because in some circumstances, what you'll see is, like you say, let's make up an example. Dallas is playing the Monday night game against the Giants. And this is not what's actually happening right now. I'm not looking at the data, it could be, but
yeah, this is totally,
totally made up.
Yeah.
Let's say the game, Dallas is receiving, Dallas is a 7.5 point favorite, and they're getting like 75% of the money coming in on Dallas. Yet the line, now the line logically in that instance should be moving higher to entice more Giant bets.
Okay, so you're saying the money's coming in on the favorite Dallas, who is, you said they're, in this example, they're minus 7.5?
Right. Let's say they're minus 7.5.
That's right. So the money's coming on Dallas. So in my mind, the money's going on Dallas. That means the should go up to 8 points, the line.
Correct. They're gonna start moving it up slightly to entice bets coming in on the other side, so that they can try to balance out where all the money is on the game.
And that makes sense, because sometimes I see a line like that and I'm like, hey, you know what? I like the other side. I'm going to wait for the Giants to get to that key number of nine, and then I'm going to take it.
That's right.
And that's so, normal line movement.
Yeah. So if you see that, you know, and there's so much data out there now that you can access for free, where a lot of the sports books will put out, these offshore sports books will put out where they're getting, you know, where the money's coming in on. Some of them are on Twitter and they'll tell you, you know, we're getting this amount of action on one side or the other. So it should, in theory, then move the line in the direction that you would think it does. So if the money is coming in on Dallas, the line's going to keep getting higher, in theory. What we'll see sometimes is the line might come down.
So it would go from 7.5 to 7 in your opinion.
And in that case, this is what we would call a reverse line move, because it's a contradiction between the actual money coming in and in the direction that the game is coming, that the game is moving in from a spread standpoint.
Okay, so I understand it now. So normally, if money goes on team A, the line gets more, it gets better for team B. But in this case, the money's going on team A and the line is actually moving in a favorable way to the same team. Now, what actionable steps, if any, can we take away when we see this? What signals to the market?
There are some people who build models strictly based on these type of movements. Now, you'd probably want to incorporate other things into your model, but I know when my model lines up with a reverse line movement, I find that to be a little bit more powerful, right? So I don't just sit and take every reverse line movement. That's not my strategy, but I feel a little bit more confident in games where I do see a reverse line moving, lines that don't make sense. I'll take you back to, I was a trader, right? Traded for years. And years ago, I was reading a book on trading, and the guy was an oil trader down on Wall Street. And he had said, when you don't understand the move, when the stock price or the oil, the price of oil, or in my case, currency, is moving contradictory to where all the data says it should be moving, you need to fear that move.
Right. It's abnormal.
Don't fade it. Yeah. It's an abnormal move. And that was a lesson. That was one of the great lessons I learned in trading. You would see it. I don't want to get too into technical trade, but like a lot of times non-farm payroll, it's the unemployment numbers. It actually just came out yesterday. And you would see, well, it's a really bad number. You know, it's a bad number. It should be negative for the dollar. Yet here comes the dollar stronger and stronger and stronger. And like 2 hours after the number, the dollar's still stronger. And everybody in the office would be like, well, it's a terrible number. Like it's got to go, the other way. Mm. And I'd say, well, there's a reason it's going, like, I don't know what the reason is.
Right.
But there's a reason it's coming this way. I'm not fading it. I'm not trying to catch the falling knife and getting hurt here. So you'll see that in sports as well. Like when you don't understand a line in general, like that line just doesn't make any sense to you, or the line move doesn't make any sense because, hey, the whole world likes this one side. You need to be leery of that. And I'm not saying it's always actionable, but be leery of that move. You know, sometimes what's too good to be true is, in fact, too good to be true.
Yeah, but sometimes no action is an action. So
yes, boy, that's a great point. That could be a topic for another day, but no action. You know, going into the, again, I go back to my trading roots, you know, not putting a trade on is doing something.
Yeah.
You know, but people always feel like they need to touch, you need to touch all the buttons and you need to touch blow the whistles and touch the buttons and do so. Otherwise you didn't have a productive day. Well, you did. Like not making a bet today, let's say there's a, you know, it's college football, like Saturdays in the fall time, or there's nothing better, right?
Right.
But you have a system, whatever your strategy, and you just don't like anything today. There's nothing wrong with not making a bet. Like going home with zero today is a lot better than going home with a negative number.
Yeah, that's an amazing point. And in the season-long fantasy football world where I come from, in the dynasty football world, I always tell people sometimes the best trades are the ones that you don't make. So
it's 100% true.
Yeah. All right. That, you know, that is an interesting topic for another day. So with this reverse line movement now, for the average bettor like myself, how do I know if it's a reverse line movement? All I see is the line moving. I don't know which side the money's coming on. I always hear you talk about the tickets on this side, the money's on that side. How am I able to tell? If I'm going to one of the big sports books that are now legal in many states, or my local back alley bookie, just kidding. How do I know if it is indeed reverse line movement?
Yeah, it's hard. Back in the day, it was a little bit more art than it was science, because you kind of, if you have been doing this a long time, you kind of know where the money's going to be coming in instinctually. You see a game. I mean, generally the big, the big quarterbacks are going to get money in the NFL, or the big teams. NFL, for me, at least, it was always a little bit easier to know. As soon as I saw a number, I'm like, well, you know, the money's going to be coming in on that side. Today, we've got so much access now, and there's a lot of free information. Like I said, if you go to a lot of these sports books, if you go to their Twitter pages, or just go in there and start Googling, looking for, the sports books will send out information on how much money they're taking on each side of these games. The information is out there now. So what you're looking for, there's two things you might find. You might find ticket percentages and you might find, money percentages. So that's a whole nother thing, where if the ticket percentage and the money percentage line up, okay, fine, they're all going in the same direction. But another form, it's not really called a reverse line movement, but sometimes you will see the ticket percentage on one team, but the money percentage on another team. What that's telling you is the amount of tickets or the amount of bets, individual bets on one team is greater than the amount of money. So those small amount of bets on the other team, on team B, is producing a greater amount of money on those games. So we sometimes, not always, but sometimes we equate big bets with smarter money. And it's not always the case, but sometimes
right. It
is.
Rich people aren't always smart, are they?
Rich people aren't always smarter. So you do have to be leery about that. But when you see it in the NFL, like, okay, so the NFL, also understand the sport that you're betting. If you're betting college basketball, okay, especially you're betting the MAC conference, you're betting, a Tuesday night Pac-12 game, something like that.
What you're saying is those games are not high-profile games.
They're not high-profile. It's not a high-profile game. You know, you're betting the Arizona State-Utah game on a Tuesday night, Wednesday night.
Very different than Duke-North Carolina on Thursday prime.
Different than a Duke, right. Duke-North Carolina is going to – they're going to take in almost what an NFL take is going to be on a game. So understand what sport you're betting and the type of game it is. And, yeah, if you see – now, if you see, we call it liquidity in the market. Those games have less liquidity, meaning there's less money being bet on the game. There's less action. Two things happen in very low liquid markets. One, you could get a lot more movement because there's not a lot of liquidity. In an NFL, with a lot of liquidity, you've got people from You've got all sorts of people. It's why beating the NFL is so difficult, because you've got so much information. Everyone's got the information coming in. It's very difficult to beat the NFL. So when there is these type of line moves, reverse line moves in the NFL, it could tend to be a very sharp action, you know, but you don't see them as often as you might see it on a small, like I said, a small level game. So no one's coming in now, kind of dancing around a little bit. We talked about last week when we were talking about those special plays. It's really hard to get a lot of action down on these small games for this particular reason. They don't want one. They don't want fixed games going on, so they don't allow these big bets. Also, when you're in Vegas, you very well might have better information than they do on these small bets. You don't have better information than they do on the NFL or MLB right. or NBA, but you start going down to college, you know, small college football or small college basketball, you very well may have much right. better information than they do, and they right. don't want to get beat.
You might have been friendly, you know, you might know someone who actually worked in the sure. locker room and knows Absolutely. That, you know, their quarterback is got a bulky knee.
Exactly. I know the point guard, you know, his finger is dislocated. I know the, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. So they're not going to take, you know, I'll give you some just stories about that. And this is MLB. I mean, I was running a model in the MLB. It was doing really well. And so I had my a partner of mine who's out in Vegas was putting in game, and it's not a lot of money. Maybe $500 a game or something like that. They wound up in some books, they were cutting him down because we were winning, and they cut him down to like a $200 max bet. And people say, I mean, because I think the average person who hasn't placed a bet in Vegas thinks you could walk in there with $100,000, put it on the Mets for you know, on a Sunday night, and they're just going to take it. Not always no. the case. They will, and some places might, but they're not always. You know, there are limits. You know, the NFL, you could probably get away. You know, when the NCAA tournament comes around, you can get away with some big bets, but it's really not the case, no matter what they tell you. Also, what they'll do is, and we've had this happen, gone up to the window, said, you know, the Toronto Blue Jays are getting plus 140, and we've talked about what the money lines mean. So you go up to the window, and I'm talking a small bet, $500 bet. Hey, let me get the Blue Jays. You know, there's the rotisserie number. Let's say it's 363 Toronto, plus 140 for 500. They'll say, be right back 1 second. They go back, talk to the boss, come back, and they go, all right, it's now 125. Right. So they'll take all the value out of the game. So right. you know, Vegas, they'll pull a lot of tricks and so stuff like
little,
that. So
it's a little bait and switch with the line. And I bet yeah. you nowadays they're running, you know, optical scans and all that other thing.
They know who you are. They want you, you know, they want to track your bets, and they know who the sharp people are. But with that said, because they know who's betting and because they know who's sharp, sometimes it's not just the size of the bet. We would come in there, not a very big bet. I mean, $500 is not something that's going to scare anybody. But I put a $500 bet in, and all of a sudden they move the line from 140 to 125 because they know somebody smart is behind that bet. Mm. So that's why reading line movements can be important, and understanding that there's a reason maybe not very obvious to you as to why this line is moving. So you need to be aware of it. And so they didn't really care if they were taking, let's say the Blue Jays were playing the Astros that day, and they were taking a ton of Astro bets. The fact that I came in on the other side was yeah. way more important than the fact that they were getting a bunch of, as we call them, square bets on the Astros. So, yeah. you know, they wanted to move. Now they're getting nervous that there's going to be an influx of sharp guys coming in, and they don't want to take a beating on that game.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, even in all of the casino games, Vegas takes the, you know, the chances of winning, just sucks it out of there. And then if they're able to see that you're, you know, a sharp bettor's coming in, I'm sure they, well, obviously you just explained that they do the same thing. Is that why sometimes that professional bettors use proxies and split up their bets into different casinos? And-
yeah. You'll see guys, I mean, these big, they're syndicates, they call them. Syndicates. And they'll have, and now it's technically it's illegal to do. You can't have a runner. Right, because they want to know exactly who's placing these bets. So you can't, right. you're not allowed. I can't really tell you
what a racket that they.
It's keep changing. Yeah, of course, it's a big time racket.
Every time that you go in and you figure out the game, they change the law. It sounds they a lot change, like
yeah. it was like Roddy Piper. I don't know if you remember Roddy Piper back in the day.
Do I remember Roddy Piper? Every Piper's Pit. I mean, come on.
Every time, what was his quote? It was like, Every time you think you know the answers, I change the questions.
That's what Brian Piper used to say. Great.
Yes.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
That's what they do.
Yeah, we were talking about Piper's Pit last night on the Flex Network podcast. All right, John. So that definitely explains reverse line movement. That's something to look for. Now, I kind of threw you a pitch. I was hoping you would take the bait, but because of your humility, you were telling people where to find all the reverse action. But the true answer to where you find reverse line movement is at Beat the Bookie at the DFSArmy.com. And right now, if you sign up at DFSArmy.com/beatthebookie and use promo code BTB, Beat the Bookie, you can get 20% off. And these podcasts that we've been doing, there's been a great response to them, not surprising to me, because of this great information you get. And what I've been telling people and, you know, what we've been putting in the marketing material is that this is just a little peek into the window of what you do. Here is your chance. And tell the people that are watching that enjoyed this content why they should sign up for Beat the Bookie.
Yeah, I mean, not only are the games that our coaches, and let me go back, we've got three other coaches besides me. We call them coaches, and we call them coaches for a reason, because they're there to coach. They're not there to just give you games. You're going to learn something. You are on a faster track than I ever was, right? All the stuff that took me years and years of trial and error and losing my money to do, I'm going to give you all that insight and all that experience. So you get the experience of an old guy like me. My birthday just passed, 46 years old.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. You might be 26. And when I was 26, I was making a lot of the same mistakes you might be making right now. So to me, it's like having a mentor, right? If you, or an apprenticeship, if you go into, you want to become an electrician, a plumber, you're going to want to learn from someone who's been doing it for 20, 25 years. And you're getting that, at least with me. You've got the other guys who are extremely sharp, really bright guys, quant guys who have their own models there, really bright. And quite frankly, like I said, we're all learning from each other. So they're going to come up with, they've got ideas that I never thought about. I might have some ideas they never thought about. And collectively, we're really, even with the subs there, we're all learning and we're all getting better.
And this is what you get when you sign up for Beat the Bookie. Not only do you get, and you know what, you do get picks. They do give you picks, but what's cool, they don't just say, "Hey, take this team." They give you John does a written up rationale of his thought process. Obviously, you can go back and look at his models and look at his sheets, and he teaches you process. I mean, anyone that's just touting picks is why would they even do that? They would just take the picks for themselves. John saying, okay, here's based on my models and my work for the week. Here's my picks across these sports. I'll do the little bragging for you. You've been crushing it lately. I mean, last week in NFL, what was your record?
5-1 last week.
Oh yeah. No big deal. Just 5-1.
5-1 last week in the NFL. It's been great since I'm forgetting the exact number on Beat the Bookie since I got in there, but I know, let's put it this way. When I started on Beat the Bookie, it was the first 2 weeks. I was just at 500, and I am now picking 65% on the season overall. So it's even better than that over at Beat the Bookie, what you guys have been getting. So
yeah, and his staff, who's handpicked by John and the Geek, who is the CEO of DFS Army. I mean, these guys are super sharp. And again, the process last week, for example, and again, I don't want to make this a dated podcast, but San Francisco played Arizona. Everybody was on San Francisco, including myself. I said before I put in my San Francisco bet, let me just go check with Beat the Bookie, and Fight On had a great rationale as to why Arizona was the play. Sure enough, I picked it, won. And again, they're going to get some stuff wrong, but it's their process. I really enjoyed your staff's thought out process. And if you're listening a year from now, when this is recorded on November 3rd of 2019, even a year from now, this process is still in place. So sign up at DFSArmy.com/beat-the-bookie. It's up on the screen. Or just go to DFSArmy.com and click on the Beat the Bookie tab. Use code BTB, Beat the Bookie, and get 20% off. And you'll also, the coolest part is that you have access to our VIP Slack chat where you can actually talk with John. John takes time and talks through any questions him and her staff have. If you want to know what to eat for dinner tonight, John will tell you what to do.
I happen to be a great cook.
You know what? You kind of look like a guy that knows it. You look like one of the guys in Goodfellas that was slicing
the garlic nice and thin
with the razor, right?
Was
that not the best scene ever?
It is. That is a great scene. Yeah.
Not the
aristocrat.
Off. Oh, not the tangent off, but I mean, no. was was what's your number one movie of all time? It's, I mean, I, for me, it's Goodfellas.
Goodfellas might be one of my number. I'll give you a couple. So it's Goodfellas, Shawshank Redemption.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Braveheart's one of my favorites, and Pulp Fiction.
Oh yeah.
And The Godfather's got to go in there. It's a classic.
Totally, totally. And best TV show of all time. I mean, I know what the answer is. Come on.
Oh, best TV show of all time. Now for me, I don't know.
Sopranos.
Sopranos was great. Not my favorite of all time.
Oh, okay.
Not my favorite. It was a good show. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, TV shows. I'm not. You know what? I'm gonna just go classic because what I grew up with was The Honeymooners back in New York at 11.
Enough.
Yeah, 11 o'clock at night, Channel 11.
Yeah, those are in the syndication.
Back when we had no cable. Yeah,
right. That was rabbit ear TVs. Rabbit ear TVs. But yeah, look, see, this is the kind of stuff I asked John and beat the bookie. Just kidding. All right. All right, John, you did it again. Statsational on Twitter. I'm going to put it up on the screen for those of you watching. STATSATIONAL at Statsational on Twitter. You can follow him, tweet him. I'm at Alan Seslowski, ALANSES. LOWSKY, aka Season Long Says, come over to DFS Army. Come hang out with us. All right, John, we'll do this again next week. For now, and tell me what you think here. I was playing around with some slogans for our Beat the Bookie podcast, and I was thinking, become a better.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to digest that
a little bit. Digest it. Become a better. All right.
All right.
This is what I do all day. I think about things for our podcast. All right, brother.
Thank you, man.
Until next week, see you then.